Call this meeting to order. Bethlehem City Council, tonight is Tuesday, December 7th, 2021, 7:04 here in Town Hall. We'd all please rise with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all for joining us this evening. Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan.
Present.
Mr. Cologne.
Present.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Present.
Mr. Groan.
Presente.
Mr. Rattle.
Present.
Dr. Van Horn.
Present.
Mr. Walner.
Present. Prior to our agenda this evening, the prime sponsor of Bill 31-2021, Item 9L, and the companion resolution, Item 10A, from Councilwoman Ramsey Smith, has been requested that the items be removed from tonight's agenda. If those items are removed from the agenda, the administration's amendments to that bill will also be removed from the agenda. At this point, I will turn to Ms. Ramsey Smith, if she'd like to give us her thoughts on her request to remove that from the agenda. Thank you.
Thank you, President Walter. I'm requesting to remove it from the agenda because, as you know, I've been working on this for, 2 years and working with the city for over a year on it. And the 11th hour, I guess you could say, the city introduced amendments, and I just have not had time to really prepare well to present it tonight for a vote, given the amendments. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Evans, when did you bring those amendments forward to council? You know the date of that?
I don't have my notes here. If you give me a moment, I can check. I'd say about 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, this has been.
I have a cover memo. I'll get you a correct date. October 14th.
Okay. Yeah, this has been a pretty long journey to get us to the point where we're at, and I just wanted to make sure we're taking the best course possible for the city, and just try to get everybody on the same page. So I wasn't sure if. Was it your intention to make a statement at this point, or?
I would pivot to the controller to make.
Mr. Yasso,
that's okay. I guess I would say this, I think what council has before them is, is ready to be voted on. However, if it's the will of the council to pull this from the amendment or from the agenda, what I will say is until there comes a resolution and there is a responsible contracting ordinance eventually done. Codified, which I think everybody here agreed is a good idea, I would say everyone can rest easy as responsible contracting has been going on in the city. It's been a priority in the city for the last 6 years. We have a comprehensive, all-encompassing process that we go through, which will continue. So, from a logistical standpoint, there's no worries on the city's ends. I wouldn't think there's any worries on the administration's end, at least from moving forward without anything in place. However, I would say I do believe what you have in front of you is, at this point, the best option. If it remains on the agenda, I was going to be very brief. I think you all know where I stand. It will be a strong urge from the controller's office for council's support of the amendments. If it is pulled, however, like I said, everything is in place already, as is, and when the time comes to codify something, I do think it is a good idea. I think we all agree that. I think you want the best possible ordinance in front of you. If you don't feel that way right now, that's okay to pull. I do think what you have is pretty good in terms with the amendments.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Yasso. And Mr. Evans, was that the opinion of the administration as well?
Correct. Yeah, we would agree with the comments made by Controller Yasso that it is certainly the will of the council on the deciding factor on which way you'd like to move on this evening. We did work hard, I'll let you know, on the amendments, and we're looking forward to having discussion. We thought the amendments were able to meet the goals of both sides in the way they were prepared and presented, and we'd be happy to answer any questions or have any discussion about them tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. And this is a slightly unusual situation where we have an ordinance that's introduced by a council member and then requested to be pulled. It is up to council as a whole to set the agenda. So I did have an opportunity to speak with our solicitor, Mr. Spurk, earlier today, and he said essentially if there's unanimous agreement from council, we can remove this from the agenda without a vote. Jump in, Mr. Spurk, to confirm that.
Yeah, by tradition and custom and practice, the agenda is prepared by the president and the clerk, usually the Thursday before the meeting, without any input from the rest of council or without a vote. The agenda then, after it's received, sometime someone who's an initiator of an item on that agenda will ask to pull it. Sometimes that can be the administration, it could be perhaps an appointment or a nomination to some position or a board. Sometimes that comes from the administration, sometimes it comes from the sponsor of the legislation, as tonight. Sometimes it's a citizen-initiated zoning amendment that we're considering, and the citizen will call after the agenda's released and ask to have it pulled. And then by custom and practice, the president will announce, as he did tonight, item so-and-so on the agenda has been removed at the request of whoever. Then there's usually silence after that, and the meeting continues, and that item is not on the agenda. I always deem that to be unanimous consent. Sometimes in like the United States Senate or something, you'll watch it on TV, and the presiding officer will say, without objection, it is so ordered. Kind of like that. So I always deem it when the president reads the statement that something's been removed from the agenda, no one says anything. That to me is unanimous consent. And it's that to Robert's Rules of Order too, they would see it that way. But as the council president stated, the agenda is completely for council as a body. Council is in complete charge of its own agenda. It could vote to create an agenda, it could vote to delete from an agenda, it could vote to add from an agenda. So I would say that if any member tonight is not in agreement with pulling it, they could raise that objection, there could be a discussion, and if a member feels strongly enough that it should be remain on the agenda, in my estimation, motion to keep it on the agenda, second discussion, and then majority vote would keep it on the agenda. That's how I view it, as I read Robert's Rules and parliamentary procedure.
Thank you, Mr. Spurk. So at this point, I would ask if there's any member of council who would have objection to Ms. Cramsey Smith's request to remove the ordinance from consideration this evening, if we wanted to keep it on the agenda and have a further discussion and potentially a vote later on in the evening, or to defer this ordinance to a future time. The other reason we're in a little bit of an unusual situation is because it's at the request of the administration to proceed after the remarks that Mr. Evans gave this evening. So if there's no objection from Ms. Cramsey Smith's request, Bill 31, Item 9L and 10A would be removed from our agenda this evening. At this point, we will transition to public comment on any first public comment will be on any subject not being voted on tonight's agenda. And there's a name on here that's crossed out. I'm not sure. Okay. Would you like to speak this evening, sir?
Yes.
Yep, you can approach. Yeah, you can just pull to the side. That'll pull straight down for you. I think that should work well.
Can you hear me?
Yes. If you could give us your name and address for the record and proceed with your comments to counsel.
My name is Brian McCricker. My address is 1940 Irvine Avenue in Bethel. And I would like to talk about accessibility for people with wheelchairs. Even out here, it's very hard to navigate since they put up this nativity. People are not thinking about anybody in a wheelchair. There's things that I can't do. I can't go to a park and play in a park. I've been talking to the rec people, and they keep getting pushed everywhere else. You spend a lot of money on golf courses and parks, swimming pools, and everything, and it comes out of my tax dollars. But I'm not allowed because I can't go to places and actually take advantage of it. We have a track and field team for the state of Pennsylvania. But that track and field team does not practice in Pennsylvania. We practice in Bayonne, New Jersey. Why do we have to travel that far when we have all this stuff around us that taxpayers paid for? We built a brand new stadium. We have practice fields for this for all athletes that are able-bodied. But there's nothing for a disabled person in this town. And it's getting ridiculous. I am a disabled vet. I ended up in this thing because of the job I did. Not because I was in a motorcycle accident, out drunk driving, or anything like that. But I'm totally disgraced to say I'm a disabled vet because there's nothing for us. People in wheelchairs don't have a chance. I asked about setting something up so I can practice throwing javelin and discus. So I could tie my throwing chair down to the ground without destroying the grass around it. And I got pushed off. Well, you got to call this person. Then you can get them. Oh, you got to call this person. And in a roundabout circle, you get right back to rec. Golf course. I found out I could play golf. That was a dream come true. But I can't play anywhere in this state. I got to travel to North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, or Florida to do it. When I have a golf course 5 minutes away from my house, that some of my taxes go and pay for it. You're going to spend you're going to vote on a bill tonight for $1.some million. And I found out that the golf course guy, the head person, I called him up and I asked him about if I could get on, if there's a way I could play. He says, no, we don't have a golf course cart that you can have use. It's not in the budget. But I found out that they're going to spend thousands of dollars on a simulator for able-bodied people on this next budget that you're going to do. Why? It's I don't know where to go. I love sports. It helps up here. I guess you could read the hat. But the thing is, can't do it. I can't practice any of my sports in this state. I got to travel out of state. And it's the same way in the schools. This state spends billions of dollars every year for able-bodied kids in schools, but nothing for disabled. I know, because my son just got out of school a couple years ago, and there was nothing for disabled kids at all. He's having a hard time at college because of it, because he knows what's going on. And they're showing him videos up there saying, wow, I wish I had a little disability so that I could have a front parking space at a shopping center. I don't know how he kept his mouth shut. And this is a video they showed him in a speech class. This is the mentality of people anymore. So thank you for your time. And I hope I didn't get anybody upset, but we really need to start thinking about disabled people all the way around. Music Fest, Celtic Fest, you should see what I got to go through to get down there. My wife has to drop me off, then she has to go to a shuttle site, and then she comes down. I'm sitting there waiting for almost an hour, and we do the routine backwards,
they don't come in with accessible buses. So, you have a good night. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments, sir. Continuing with first public comment, does anyone would like to make comment on any subject not being voted on this evening? Yes. Step up and just give your name and address for the record and proceed with your comments. Thank you.
Good evening, Council. My name is Shauna Nipper. I live at 439 East North Street. I'm a new resident of Bethlehem, and I'm actually here to talk about accessibility as well. I have been a disabled person for 10 years now, and accessibility is one of the biggest obstacles for disabled people in any community. Some of the issues that are faced here are due to income disparity, because we know that disabled people tend to make substantially less than able-bodied people, and some of them are simply due to a lack of understanding of some of the issues that face disabled people in general. I do agree that there are quite a few things that need to be addressed as far as accessibility in the areas of activity, athleticism, those sort of things in the area. But I'm specifically here tonight to talk about parking accessibility in the residential neighborhoods and a disparity that is occurring there. When you apply for a parking permit that provides you accessibility, and I do not use the word handicapped, accessibility, because we all deserve that same accessibility to our home, to a business, to a restaurant, and that provides us a quality of life that we all deserve. Specifically in Bethlehem, you're required to obtain a license plate. 10 years ago, I obtained a lifetime permanent disability placard. There is no difference between the placard and the license plate. However, in order to get a license plate, I need to return to my doctor, fill out the same form that I've already filled out, go to a notary, pay a fee to get it notarized, and then reapply paying a fee to the state for that same license plate. I understand the need to determine that that parking place is associated with that vehicle. However, what that also does not take into consideration is the need for the placard by specific members of the community. Were I to get a license plate, that would stay with my vehicle. There are times I'm not able to utilize my vehicle, that someone needs to take me places, that someone may not have a license plate for me to be able to park close enough. So I need to be able to take my placard with me. And that's not possible with the system that's set up here in Bethlehem. So right now, what we're looking at is the need to make things within reason accommodating to all people. And that's what I'm seeing not happen in some of the rules that I'm encompassing and some of the things that are easily being asked. If you're talking about creating a standard where it creates equity for all people, that simple accommodation is what's required by the ADA. And so I would like to suggest looking into other methods of numbering and labeling disability, handicapped, whatever you would like to call them. I call them accessibility parking spaces. I'm sure there's other methods we could take into place for other issues across the city. I actually do work in justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion. I have quite a few suggestions, but at this time, that one is directly impacting me and several residents of my block across the street from Thomas Jefferson Elementary with the significant drop-off and pickup issues that have already been happening at that school. There are multiple elderly folks in the community there that do not have parking spaces, specifically because they can't jump through the hoops that have been created unnecessarily. So I would love to see that addressed. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments. I would encourage you to reach out to the director of the Parking Authority, Steve Bernstrom. I'll send him a note to look out for you or reach out to you directly and possibly come up with a solution that would help you in your situation and anyone else who's affected by that situation moving forward. Sir?
Problem is the fee involved by the city. There's no reason I should have to pay extra money to get a parking space in front of my house.
City Council and the City Administration doesn't set the ordinances or the rules for the parking authority, but I have found Mr. Fernstrom to be a pretty reasonable person, and if there is an issue with some of the process and permitting and fees, I'm sure that would be considered by the authority and their board as well. If enough people let them know that this is an issue that is affecting people's quality of life and their accessibility, I think that a solution is something that they could come to if you work for them and were an advocate for the situation. Thank you for your input, though. Is there anyone else who'd like to make comment on any subject not being voted on this evening? Mr. Antalis?
Stephen Antalik, Citizen Ridge, 1201 Busseton Road. I was informed by an alert citizen that my comments last meeting were incorrect. Either I misunderstood or was given poor data. So what I have done is taken a page from the budget to make sure my numbers are accurate. And when it says actual numbers for revenues from water sales for 2021, rounded out at 20.9 million. But also, as I said before, that number represents only 70% of possible billing. In other words, 30% is not billed, or that water is unaccounted for. And not accounted for means they have no accounts, so you can't bill it. So if you calculate what that number might be if it were 100% billing. And that number would then become 29.9 million, which represents a shortfall of $9 million. That is no small piece of change. And even though my numbers were incorrect, no one on council or administration cared to comment on that. And I don't recall reading or hearing this in any public discussions. So it seems to be a well-kept secret. Of course, you wouldn't want to advertise this because you might have some irate citizens. But this needs to be told to the general public and say, why are we not getting $9 million? There might be a legitimate reason for it, but we don't know. So, which brings to the issue that the Bethlehem Authority is controlled by two other entities other than themselves, City Council and Administration. And maybe it's depriving them of the ability to do their job properly. because it amazes me that city council pays for the bills for the water system and never questions anything about the bills, because the report they get only says who it is and how much, and how it was either bid or awarded. So, well, that is clearly a lack of oversight. You aren't doing your job. And in the past, administration borrowed money from the water fund to put in the general fund to make their fiscal policies look good, which shouldn't be done. So beyond finding out what's going on with this $9 million, I think the city administration, city administration and council seriously needs to divest themselves of the authority and make it like the housing authority, parking authority, and redevelopment authority, who do a good job. But we need an explanation, because you are our representatives in our welfare.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else this evening like to make comment on any subject not being voted on this evening? Moving to second public comment for any resolution or ordinance on tonight's agenda. Would anyone like to make comment on any subject to be voted on this evening? Communications, communication 6A.
A memorandum from Michael Alcall, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract change order with Mohawk Contracting Development, LLC, for additional work related to traffic signal upgrades. The change order cost is $47,875.25, and the total cost after the change order is $125,233.
Resolution 10B is on the agenda. Communication 6B.
A memorandum from City Solicitor William P. Leeson with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. The permittee is Arts Quest, and the event is a 2021 Peep Fest with 5K and fireworks on December 30th and 31st. The agreement covers First Street from Polk Street to the Eastern Terminus and Founders Way between First and Second Street.
Resolution 10C is on the agenda. Communication 6C.
A memorandum from Mark Sivak, Director of Budget and Finance, recommending a contract with Engel, Hambright, and Davis, Inc. for self-insured workers' compensation program management services. The term runs from January 1st, 2022 through December 31st, 2025. The cost is $57,500 per year, and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10D is on the agenda. Reports. I have no reports this evening, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. President. Administrative Order Number 42. I hereby appoint Elena Ostrich, 1629 West Broad Street, Unit 1, Bethlehem, to the Fine Arts Commission to fill this position held by Jessica Lee. This appointment is effective through December 2024.
The resolution to confirm is sponsored by Mr. Grown and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith? Mr. Grown?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0.
Thank you, Mr. President. That's my report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Moving to ordinances, ordinance 8A.
Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Pennsylvania, amending the policies and regulations for the determination of stormwater user fee credits and for appealing stormwater user fee determinations. Bill 33-2021 is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 5-1. New ordinances. Before we consider the 2022 budget ordinances, just a reminder, there will need to be another vote on the budget ordinances at the December 21st meeting. This is our first of two votes to pass the 2022 budget ordinances. Ordinance 9A.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the general fund budget for 2022. Bill 33, 2021 is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Nay.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith? Oh, Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Walden?
Aye. Passes 5-1. Amendment. We have to do that now as well.
Yes.
And I'll ask the clerk to read the council initiated amendment to Bill 33, passed at the last budget meeting.
A council initiated amendment to Bill 33, 2021 that would increase the civic expenses line item in the 2022 general fund budget by $1.5 million, going from $3,142,804 to $4,642,804. And that is in connection with increasing the American Rescue Plan Community Reinvestment Allocation. The amendment is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey Smith and Ms. Negron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Walden?
Aye. That's a 6-0. Ordinance 9B.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the Water Fund budget for 2022. Bill 34, 2021 is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Walden?
Aye. That's a 6-0. Ordinance 9C.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the sewer fund budget for 2022. Bill 35, 2021 is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Walden?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Ordinance 9D.
In order to the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the Golf Course Enterprise Fund budget for 2022. Bill 36, 2021 is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Walden?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Ordinance 9E.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the Liquid Fuels Fund budget for 2022. Bill 37, 2021 is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Negron? Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Walden?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 9F.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the 2022 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill 38, 2021 is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Nay.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-1. Ordinance 9G.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the 2022 capital budget for water utilities. Bill 39, 2021, by Mr. Colon and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Walden?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 9H.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the 2022 capital budget for sewer utilities. Bill 40, 2021 is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Walden?
Aye. That's a 7-0. Resolution 9I. Ordinance 9I.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the Community Development Block Grant Budget for 2022. Bill 41, 2022 is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Aye.
Mr. Groen.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 7-0. 9J.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the Stormwater Fund Budget for 2022, Bill 42, 2021, is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Aye.
Mr. Groen.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 7-0. 9K.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, fixing the tax rate for all city purposes for the year 2022. Bill 43, 2021 is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Nay.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Aye.
Mr. Groen.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 6-1. Both agenda items, 9L, the ordinance, and 9L, the proposed amendments, were removed at the beginning of the meeting, and as well as 10A, with no objection from any member of council. Moving to resolutions, resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller, under such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor, are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Mohawk Contracting Development LLC for additional work related to traffic signal upgrades. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Groen and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Aye.
Mr. Groen.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. That's a 7-0. Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller, under such other city officials as deemed appropriate by City Solicitor, are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Arts Quest for the Peak Fest and Fireworks event. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Aye.
Mr. Groen.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. That's a 7-0. Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller, under such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor, are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Engel, Hambright, and Davies, Inc. for Workers' Compensation Program Management Services. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Groen and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Aye.
Mr. Groen.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10E.
Certificate of appropriateness under the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance here granted for 125 East 3rd Street to install new casement-style windows, replacements that are larger than the existing upper-level windows. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Groen and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Aye.
Mr. Groen.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. That's a 7-0. Resolution 9F?
10F.
Pardon me. 10F. Thank you.
Certificate of appropriateness under the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance is hereby granted for 13 West 3rd Street to paint the exterior walls and trim, to replace the existing awning, and to replace existing signage to reflect a new corporate logo. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Groen and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Aye.
Mr. Groen.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10G.
Certificate of appropriateness under the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance is hereby granted for 24 through 30 West 4th Street to construct a new six-story mixed-use structure. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Groen and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Aye.
Mr. Groen.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10H.
Certificate of appropriateness under the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance is hereby granted for 128 East 3rd Street to demolish the existing single-story building and construct a new six-story mixed-use structure. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Groen and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Discussion?
Yes.
Dr. Van Hoorn?
So we're dealing with a whole bunch of certificates of appropriateness for the South Side tonight. And I can't be quiet about a phenomenon that has happened here, which is not just that we have seen and we're all aware of the development that's happening on the South Side, but we've had some really vigorous discussions here about the tension between the underlying zoning in the historic district versus the HCC guidelines, which mandate very clearly that new structures be appropriate and in context with the other structures. This motion for 10H and 10I are both not appropriate in terms of the height that the buildings are being proposed. There's some really vigorous discussion in the HCC, which again, this is an invaluable service of providing these minutes, which I read pretty thoroughly. And there was some discussion about how this building basically has an inability to satisfy Secretary Interior standards concerning new construction, specifically that new work will be compatible with historic size, scale, and proportion and massing to protect the integrity of the property and its environment under Bethlehem Ordinance 1714.03, the purposes of Historic Conservation District, as well as Historic Conservation Commission design guidelines concerning new construction. Now, both of these buildings violate those standards, and yet they were approved by the HCC. And I just want everyone here, but particularly anybody who might be watching online, to understand why. Because what we've done is we've decimated the structure of our own HCC by putting people on board who are not experts. There are people who are pro-development and don't have the expertise to understand the impact that this mass and density of buildings in an inappropriate area has on our historic district. Now, we have a historic district on the north side that has been protected from development of this type, and I certainly hope that our HARB is going to not be influenced by the same development pressure as well. But I would argue that the integrity of our historic district on the north side, we don't have enormous buildings out of scale. We don't have massing that's making pedestrians feel uncomfortable. We have adhered to the historic standards on the north side, and it has brought us the gem that is Bethlehem. And yet we are not obeying or paying the same credence to the south side. So the fact that the Historic Conservation Commission approved these last two buildings, to me, only speaks to what we've done to the commission itself by populating it with people who truly don't understand the significance of density and massing for a building in a historic district. In addition to this, I'm not sure which one I'm referring to that cast shadow on the Greenway. I think it's this building here. That there's been no studies about what the height of this building is going to do for shadows on the Greenway. And the fact that our historic commission itself passed it without that data, to me, tells me how we've undermined our own ability to protect our historic districts. So I think that there's some changes we can make in terms of the fact that one of the voting members of the historic commission is employed by the mayor. And this is an inherent conflict of interest. He's never going to vote against his own best interest in preserving his job. I think that this council and hopefully future council needs to pay very specific attention to the people we appoint to these historic commissions, because it is those people who are the experts who can help us preserve it. Now, they've actually said no to a building. There's another building here that was discussed and actually tabled, 317 to 327, because the massing was off, and it also was casting shadow on the Greenway, and it had a lot of aesthetic tweaks that it needed to do, and the developer wasn't ready to fully commit or not commit, so they tabled it. But I think that we as city council are the ones that are going to have to own these buildings. And the development pressure on the south side is there because the land is cheap. We're not looking at a whole lot of requests to build on Broad Street, are we? So we're seeing equity right here happening. This type of development is happening on the south side because the land is cheap there. And so when we talk about equity, I think we also need to talk about how we handle development and preserving our historic districts. So both 120, I don't need to repeat all this for 117 East 4th Street, but the same exact phenomenon goes on. I encourage everyone to get these minutes from the Historic Commission, to read what the members had to say, and for City Council, this one and future, to make sure that the people we put on this commission don't have conflict of interest and have an expertise in the subject area in which they're asked to rule. That's all my count. That's all my comments. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Van Wert. Ms. Ramsey Smith.
I guess I just wanted to get specifics on where exactly are they located, 128 and 117. Are they right near New Street, the intersection of New, or what street are they intersection with?
Between New and Adams, is that?
Mr. Rollins, can we ask Ms. Garner for some explanation here? Because I think it's a legitimate question.
The resolution in front of you is the building in the block where the Rite Aid strip mall, which sits back, has the parking in front. It's to the east in that block. So Larbly's is across the street. If you're familiar with Larbly Design, as a landmark. So it's a vacant building. It's been vacant for a number of years. It is demolition of that existing structure that's built on half of the parcel. The other half of the parcel has kind of a parking driveway area. The last business to occupy the building was Homebrew. So I'm not sure if any of this rings a bell with you.
So is it about like two blocks east of New Street then?
It is.
Okay. And then is the 4th Street, is that near, is that the Holy Infancy?
So 4th Street is the one you just voted on is 4th and Vine.
117. Oh, so the 117 east.
The next one on the agenda is the former Boys and Girls Club building.
Okay. And can you clarify the use? I know it says mixed use, but it sounds like the retail, and then is it going to be residential? And do we know what price the residential units are going to be?
So when we talk about mixed use, the first floor has to be either retail, restaurant, personal service that complies with our zoning. So, you know, it's a commercial space is what I'll say. That building does have a number of apartments associated with it. That developer is somebody that we talk to about affordable housing all the time. I do not have a commitment to bring to you today for that. I do want to point out one thing, though. It's misleading to look at stories of the structure. This height of this property is only, at the height proposed in front of you, is only about 7 feet higher than the Goodman building at three stories.
I didn't know what building?
The Goodman building at three stories. It's located at 30 East 3rd. So when you talk about the height of buildings, we really need to be talking about what is truly comparable to it. That just because it reads as a six-story structure doesn't mean it is the height of what, double the height of the Goodman, which is three stories.
So is it going to be like 70 feet higher than the Goodman, you said? Than the three
seven.
Stories?
Seven.
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 Oh,
yeah.
Okay, I was going to say
7 feet higher. Yeah.
What about parking? Because my concern, in addition to many, is, again, why I didn't vote for the New Street, is that area is so congested now.
So parking is not something we obligate in our central business district. We very much rely on our public parking, and we have a new parking garage that's going about a block to the east of this building, and so the market will drive that. We are not obligating parking. That is not a way to attract what we want, which is truly dense development in our downtowns.
Do we have any idea on the number of residential units? I know it's
Let me look. I do have it. I believe I have it. Bear with me.
It looks like 55 on the 128 East 3rd Street. Is that correct?
That sounds about right. Yes.
And it's, I mean, I don't know if we can, I can bring up the other issue of East 4th Street. So the height of the East 4th Street one, can you just comment on that as far as the stories go?
That's 80 feet. So when you talk about stories, I'm sure the stories are listed as part of the minutes, but it's an 80-foot structure. There was a lot of conversation around that. Is it appropriate to talk about that now?
Sure, I think these two are together.
There was a lot of conversation about that. And so when you look, I don't know if you've looked at the designs of these properties, but or these proposed projects, but that one is flanked by the Holy Infancy School and Brinker Lofts, which is a residential property, that former Ice House property owned by Lehigh University. And so a lot of effort went into the renovation of the Brick and Locks project. They really improved that corridor. It was used for storage by Lehigh for many years. And so the renovations, the adaptive reuse for that project was something we completely got behind. And they put a lot of time, and they spent time with the historic board making sure that they were, they might have even gotten tax credits for that property, but making sure that they were in compliance with what the state was looking for from a historic preservation standpoint. The conversation at HCC last month around the massing and height of that structure, and I think it's reflected in the minutes, was can we bring the height of that story of that building down? But if we bring the height of the building down and we kind of squish it, right, and you move those same unit count to the east and west of the middle large portion of the structure, you're really going to detract from both the school and the architectural elements of the school, and you're going to detract from the Brinker Lofts project. And so there was a lot of deference given to those buildings. And so when you look at the design of the structure, it is an unbelievable design. And I think HCC had a lot of good dialogue with this architect. He's the same architect for the three projects, both at the corner of 4th and Vine, the one at 3rd Street that's in front of you, and the one where the former Boys and Girls, or the former Boys and Girls Club building is. These designs are, as I described at that meeting, the designs that people in 50 years in the future will be holding, you know, projects to. They are really good design projects. They bring in elements of our historic district. They bring in elements of the surrounding properties. They really give them the space to breathe. They give access to the greenway. And it is a perfect complement, as I would describe it, to the surrounding structures. And so most of the board was in agreement with the project on 4th Street at the former Boys and Girls Club. There was not the contention discussion. We actually have had individual board members say to us how much they appreciate that the architects give and take, because it's not just about height. It's about elements of design. It's about materials use. It's about style. And they finally feel like they're getting some of the respect that they've sought, not just having an architect say, here's my project, I'm not going to modify it. They're hearing this give and take with the architect. And I hope that's reflected in the minutes, because that's what's happened. And so I think the projects that have been presented to you, particularly that one on 4th Street, which is the last one on the agenda, is a really good project in which the architect took the consideration of comments made by both the public and HCC and agreed to make changes to the project. So I leave you with that.
And do we have any, for that project also, it's going to look like retail and then residential, correct? And do we have any ideas? It's going to be like market rate pricing for residential?
As you know, this is so early in the process that I can't say to you that it is what those price points are going to be. I have no idea. And if we do obligate retail restaurant first floor for retail restaurant personal service on the first floor of all of our central business district projects.
Thank you.
Mr. Klum.
Thank you, President Waldron. Ms. Carner, just a couple other questions for clarification, and I appreciate some of the background information. So you said the property for 10H, the one-story building that's next to the Goodman building, you said, because height, and I understand height is one of many variables that are considered, but height is the most front-facing thing that, you know, comes to mind, and once the buildings are there, that's what we're taking in. More people are commenting on the height of the building than the style, than the facade, than the building materials. That's just fact. But that being said, and I understand to your point and agree with, it's important to consider height, how tall is it in feet over how many stories. But just so for my own knowledge, to repeat some things you'd already said, you said the building next, the 3rd Street project, is about 7 feet higher than the Goodman building.
Yes, the Goodman is almost 61.
Understood. And then as we look at the last agenda item 10I that we talked about, that you said is flanked on each side by the Brinker Lofts and Holy Infancy School, and that's the one that at its highest point is 80 feet, is that correct?
Yes.
And then approximately, and I don't know if you have this information, I understand you don't, but do you know about how many feet tall Brinker Lofts building is?
Not off the top of my head. I do not.
Understood. And the Brinker Lofts was a complete repurposing of that old...
Yeah, and that was a very misleading building. From the outside, it looked like there were, you know, if you look at it from a story standpoint, X number of stories, but what we knew was that those building floors never lined up. Those windows were always just decorative. They were not functional windows for that property. So even when we talk about stories, like, it may look like it's a three-story building. It was... interior was four-story. It might even be 5'9". I can't tell you with certainty.
And then, not to go too far backwards in the agenda, but the previous item that we just voted on, 10G, the West 4th Street building, which passed without objection other than one abstention, can you just paraphrase what the why there was no objection to that versus two objections to the last two agenda items?
So that was a project that's been before HCC several times. It first came to HCC, I think, in 2014 as a demolition of just the corner property. And then the proposed building, I don't have the design in front of me, so I don't know how many feet it was, but it was a seven-story building. It came back a year or so later and was actually approved by both HCC and City Council at 9 stories. And that at that point, it encompassed the McAndrews property, which is adjoining the 4th and Vine parcel, and became a bigger project. And so, to the mayor's credit, he had worked with that developer over years requesting it come down in height. And so what they saw was a better, I would argue, a better designed building, very more almost like the intentional opposition, the contemporary, a little more contemporary in design, but smaller structure that has residential, mixed use, same thing, residential with first floor, commercial space. And it's a, you know, it's a much more flattering project, I would argue, for that corner.
Thank you, Ms. Carter.
Ms. Reynolds?
Just a couple comments, Ms. Carter. First one, just to follow up on Dr. Van Wert's comments about the members of the HCC. Looking at the, it looks like for these three votes, there were 7 people there, I believe, for the votes. Is that correct?
I believe that's correct. Yeah. We had some abstentions on different projects, and they were different for each project.
So out of those 7 people, and I know Dr. Van Wert had mentioned Mr. Simonson, who is a city employee, which I believe is part of the HCC. The board.
Building code officials required by the state act.
Okay, so it's required by the state.
Yes.
That the building code official is part of that. And then when I look at the rest of that list of people, Mr. Cornish, Mr. Evans, Mr. Hudak, Mr. Lader, Mr. Lausch, and Mr. Patrick, you might be able to correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Mr. Patrick is the only one that's been added there. I think the other 5 of them have all been there for a significant amount of time. Is that correct? I would agree. I don't remember when we put any of those 5 individuals on for the first time, but I do know it. I don't believe it's been the last couple of years. And one of the things that I think we've seen from the HCC, and I listened to the meeting and obviously read the minutes, which I agree. And one thing I would add, Ms. Carter, is that I think in the future it would be good if City Council also could get some drawings or illustrations of these buildings, because I think that it helps to add context to what it is or the information that City Council is getting. This is absolutely an improvement over before, or oftentimes we just get the occasional email. But I think seeing what these drawings look like. And on the height conversation, height is absolutely one part of it. But when I look at the building at 3rd and New, which we approved, there are elements of that design other than the height that, looking back on it, I wish the HCC had been a little bit more tough on the developer towards, because, I mean, we had approved that building after the HCC had approved that building. And, you know, when I drive by there, it's not the height that necessarily bothers me about the building, but there's some other design guidelines that I think that the HCC, you know, and I understand how it is. We're dealing with conceptual drawings and things like that. But what I think that proves is how many elements of these designs are important as far as walking by them on the streets, how big are our windows, what types of materials are being used, and things like that, which I was impressed with the level of dialogue here, both in the conversation and what appeared in the minutes. And I also want to point out that I believe, and, you know, Mr. Waldron, for the purpose of the comparison here, I would ask Ms. Carner if she could, the building that's on South New Street, that I'm not sure, was it, it was tabled, I believe, or
yes,
it was?
It was. It was, they asked them to come back. There had been some back and forth with a developer and, or architect, excuse me, and he agreed to make some changes, which again, I think HCC very much felt heard. And is expected to be back on the agenda for this month.
But the developer that came obviously did not come with enough information to get to the confidence level of HCC, correct?
Correct.
And so then they, whatever the motion was, table, set it back or
yes.
whatever.
Yes.
Which I think is important. And I've said this before, Ms. Carner, is that I believe that one of the things that sometimes we don't do enough is explain about, is talk about those stories, about, you know, the things that we push for, the things that we say, and quite honestly, when you read those minutes and you listen to the meeting, it was pretty clear that there was some direction given to that particular developer, both by HEC, and is it fair to say, Ms. Garner, by the Community Economic Development
yes.
Department? And then when they brought something forward that didn't meet the standards,
yes.
it seemed to be agreement, this isn't good enough, and they need to come back.
The materials, frankly, that were being proposed were not at the standard that the historic board wanted to see. And so it's not always a conversation about, you know, massing. Design elements are critical. To make sure that the space that we're interacting with is of high quality was really very much what they were after. There was not enough attention to the rear of the property. All sides, you know, you can see the side of that from the greenway and the back of the property, and they demanded that they address those issues and come back.
Mm-hmm. The nuance about the Boys and Girls Club building that is coming down, as far as the step back is concerned. I don't know what the architectural term is for it. Isn't the top of the building?
Yeah, it's almost
recessed,
designed
is that
like
the correct word?
Several levels.
Yeah.
Yes, recessed would be.
So when we hear it, so when we get stories or whatever it is, as you said, it becomes a very kind of incomplete conversation if we don't have what the buildings necessarily look like. And then the last thing I would say just about this particular project at 128 East 3rd Street is we do have the Goodman Building, which has seen a ton of progress. And, you know, anybody that knows what that thing looked like 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago versus what it looks like now. And, you know, I'm sure the administration walked through it when it was a disaster. It's on its way, and thankfully it's going to be saved, and, you know, it's really made a lot of progress. And then you look at this building, that's going to go up on the kind of a block down, and then the one thing in between is that Rite Aid, which is absolutely, as anybody would tell you, was a development mistake once upon a time, as far as the way the building was, and I think everybody probably hopes at some point that building is going to be replaced, or it's going to match the rest of what we have in there, because obviously the Rite Aid is not a building that comes anywhere close to any type of HCC standards or anything that we should be proud of. So hopefully at some point we see something go on there where we have a building that is up to the street and we have a nice little corridor that connects the Goodman Building with the Rite Aid Building with this new building on down 3rd Street where we have the new parking garage and some other projects that we've talked about that are a little bit outside of the HCC. If that building comes down, obviously the cost of taking a building down versus putting one up is going to be more expensive than it is just to take down the Boys and Girls Club building and this building. And you know, as great of a use as the Boys and Girls Club was, the building is not particularly, and I think the HCC pointed that out, that this is not a building that should be saved.
No.
It's not the school in the corner. It's not the ice house. It's not the Goodman Building. And the same thing with what I guess the building was that's next to the Rite Aid, which, you know, I find it hard to believe that building was ever something that was built specifically to look congruent with its time.
At some point, it had been multiple stories, and something happened, and the upper stories were removed. So it is not what it had originally been constructed.
Okay. I would just go back to my original point, which I do think is important, is that we have had one change on the HCC, but a lot of these members have been on there for a long time, and the voters and the votes here, the 128 East 3rd Street, I believe, was 5-2, and 117 East 4th Street was 5-1 with one abstention.
And those abstentions are conflicts, right? So the people recuse themselves because of conflict of interest. So I just
okay.
want to be clear, these aren't people refusing to vote at what's
mm-hmm.
at hand.
Yeah. Thank you, Ms. Carter. And then, so I guess I would just say, is we saw at this meeting, the HEC say no, we've seen these individual members say no, and I really think that if City Council and anybody's able to listen to the comments from the meeting and listen to, and not just read the minutes, but also to listen to the actual meeting, you will hear tone and context and nuance from these members who are often have been very critical. And I would agree with Dr. Van Wert's, I would agree with Ms. Carner's context, that they appreciated the back and forth and the multiple times they've had conversations with the architect about these individual buildings.
Certainly. If I could just emphasize, quality is critical. And so here the comparison to Main Street, we do have a 9-story hotel at the corner of Main Street that is not to be overlooked. And I'm not sure that it is so daunting that it's overwhelming and is intimidating to people on the street. It is something we would be a lesser community, particularly this time of the year, without. So please, when considering these projects, know that it is as much about quality and design, making sure that we have high quality and good design at the end of the day. Thank you.
And I would add to that too, is one of the reasons why we don't see development on the north side is because we do obviously have old historic buildings and we don't have the parking lots and the different things that we have on 3rd and 4th Street that we don't necessarily want in our downtown. The final thing I would say, Mr. Waldron, is I do think that these buildings often become flashpoints or microcosms for other bigger conversations that we end up having about what are we doing in a lot of different areas. And I think that oftentimes these buildings become situations where we take a look at, as I've mentioned many times, that we spend a lot of time talking about these buildings as if they represent every single thing that we work towards, whether or not it be recreation or affordable housing or cultural displacement on the south side. And those are issues that everybody in this room takes seriously. And I'm looking forward early in January and February to releasing some ideas and some plans about how we're going to do in all of those areas. Thank you, Mr. Walter.
I'm sorry, I just need to clarify, and you can just sit there, okay? I guess I just need to, I'm thinking about the East 4th Street building, and I just need to get in my head, because as Councilman Meadows said, it would really be helpful if we had the specs right in front of us, and I did see the design of the building, but I need to see, in comparison, are there any other buildings nearby that it would be comparably height-wise? Because I'm just trying to get a handle on the height of this building. That it's that 7 stories, but like you said, let's not look at the stories, let's look at the feet.
So what HCC asked for is a scale drawing for the block. So those materials are included as part of the online materials for the meeting. I do not have like the south side streetscape to look at what is comparable. You know, to compare recent projects, it's shorter than the building, certainly at 3rd and New. It's shorter than the one approved by council earlier this year on New Street. I don't really...
Okay, thank you. That helps.
Okay.
My thoughts are, I mean, this is difficult because there's a lot of development on the south side for sure. And we have a housing crisis, which we know, and we need more housing, we need inclusive housing. And density, you know, even in our housing solution workshop through NYU, people throughout the country are saying, even though people really are negative about density, if we want to solve the housing affordability issue, we need to look at density. However, that's really for housing that's affordable, and that's for, you know, mixed income housing. And that's why I feel this whole process is a little bit convoluted, and that I wish, you know, we did have the specs, because I really don't have the time to go to all the zoning hearing board meetings and be paying attention, which is unfortunate, but in reality, I can't do that. So I wish we had the specs, and I also wish we had more dialogue up front before these projects as far as, you know, what are we looking at as far as who's going to be the tenants in these projects and what's the cost of the rentals going to be, because that's a big problem that we have in this city, the cost of rentals, and we have to address it. So I feel sort of at a disadvantage that I have to vote for projects where I don't even know what it's going to cost. They could be charging $2,000 a month, or they could be charging, you know, $800 a month. But my one thought is another thing that I worry about is the infrastructure, and I think when we do development, we don't think about that enough. And especially on the south side, when we look at 3rd and New, I mean, 3rd Street is a nightmare, especially at night. It's just bumper-to-bumper traffic. And why I feel more negative towards the 3rd Street project than the 4th Street is because we're going to be looking at developing the flats, so more residential there. We're going to have residential on New Street and 3rd. So I am concerned about the infrastructure putting another 55 more units, which means either 55 or 100 more people in this building, and probably all of them are going to have cars, and that's an issue where we have a street that is bumper to bumper. 4th Street, I feel that while there could be congestion, it's not nearly as congested as 3rd Street, so I feel a little bit more in favor of the 4th Street project. So thank you for your input, though, Mrs. Carter.
I'm just peering over the minutes here for reference to Brinker Lofts. The corner structure at Adams and 4th is 68 feet at the peak, which admittedly they said is not the dominant height, which is closer to 55 feet. So that gives you some context. If you look at the dominant height of that corner building, which is referred to as a the Brinker Lofts, at 55 feet as the dominant height, with a peak of 68 feet, with a peaked roof. So it's in the neighborhood of what was being requested. Maybe, obviously the HCC considers height, and that has been a flashpoint in recent conversations about development on the south side, but I would reiterate, there's a much longer conversation here that occurred about the overall aesthetic of the building and a lot more design element. If you look at, currently I have a picture up of the Boys and Girls Club, and right now it's just, it essentially looks like a warehouse, creates no energy, no walkability within that 4th Street corridor, and I think putting something in that space that works well to balance out the building to the east and west of it is, in my opinion, a great thing for the city and for the neighborhood to create some vibrancy in that space. I would hope for a positive use and maybe even a consideration to what that space previously held, and some thought go into trying to create some connection to the community there, but not just building a large warehouse for people, but something that would help benefit the community as well. So I would support this resolution this evening. Is there any other discussion on resolution 10H? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Nay.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Crampton-Smith?
Nay.
Mr. Groen?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 5-2. And moving to resolution 10I, which much of our conversation had already included. Is there any discussion on 117? Read the resolution first.
Certificate of appropriateness under the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance is hereby granted for 117 East 4th Street to demolish the existing single-story building and construct a new 7-story mixed-use building with a lower-level parking garage. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Groen and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Crampton-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Groen?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-1. Is there any new business from members of council this evening? Ms. Crampton-Smith?
Thank you. Couple of things. I just wanted to say thank you for the people that came and spoke about accessibility. I think that was a really important issue to discuss, and I think that is a great thing, as I said to them, that we are going to have a director of inclusion and equity, and I'm sure that person will be certainly part of the inclusion, will include accessibility for people that are differently able. So I think that's a real plus, having been an advocate and working with people with different abilities for many years. So the other thing I just want to talk about, we adopted a lot of the budget tonight, and I know in our meeting last week we talked about community input. I've been getting a lot of input from people asking how do they request money from the American Rescue Funds, different entities and individuals. And again, I just want to say I really hope that we look toward doing some kind of process for community input, as well as defining what the process is for people to request the money, because right now I really don't know what to tell them. I tell them just submit a memo stating what they need it for, the exact, you know, the exact amount. But I know we talked about, Dr. Van Moore brought up, like, maybe earmarking some money for a survey, and I think that would be great. I hate using money that can be given, like, to people and entities for surveys, but I was thinking perhaps we can even tap into the local universities or colleges, and they have PhD, doctoral, and master programs where they have research methods, and, you know, perhaps they can do some kind of survey for the community to see where should this, where they think the priorities should be as far as the money for, the American Rescue Funds, and especially to have some kind of defined process so that we know how to respond to the constituents that ask, you know, how do they request funds. So that's it. Thank you.
Mr. Reynolds?
Yeah, just to add to Councilman Cranston-Smith's comments is that we will be doing public outreach in the new year with that goal in mind. As we've said before, at this point, biggest thing to talk about is how we're going to need to create flexibility to be able to get to the dollars where we and the community feel they need to go. So one of the things that we have certainly been reviewing over the past couple of weeks and we will continue to look at is how do we get those dollars to where they need to go in the community, places that maybe the you know, organizations have not been able to access the funds that have come from the state and federal level. But the name of the game is flexibility, and we are looking forward to doing some things to reach out to the community about different ideas that they have. We're gonna have some new ideas through how we're gonna communicate, which we'll be announcing in the new year as well. But I couldn't agree more with the necessity of the comments, and it's absolutely gonna be a public conversation, one that's gonna include City Council as early as we can come up with some type of guidance. And I can say that dollars will not be spent before we have some of those conversations on any type of large scale. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all for joining us. Have a good evening.
Meeting is adjourned.